So the first thing I want to do is just hand out some Bibles to anybody who doesn't have a Bible this morning. Anybody who would like to borrow one of our Grace Church Bibles or even have one of our Grace Church Bibles. If you don't have a Bible of your own, we just think it's important that everybody owns a Bible. And so if you stick your hand in the air, Vernon's just bringing some out now and he'll give a Bible to you. As I say, if you don't have a Bible, you can just write your name in it and, you know, it's yours. But that's good. Where we're going to be, if you want to start finding it, is in Acts chapter 11. And so in the front of the Bible, you'll find a contents. You can find the book of Acts. And then it's all split up in chapters. Go to chapter 11. And in a while, we'll be in verse 19. So I do want to welcome you to Grace Church this morning. I don't know, is that on my 15th time yet? I must be getting close. It's the whole focus of our morning, whether this is your first time here, and some of you I've not met before, so that's lovely. I'd love to meet you later. Maybe you've been here a few times. Maybe you've been here over many years now. Whoever you are, it's good that you are part of us. And I want to try and give you a flavour of who we are. I want to tell you what we do. As I said at the start, more importantly, I want to tell you why we do it. We worship the God of the Bible. He is one God in three persons. Father, Son, that's Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's God. He's the God of the Bible. There has never been a time when people have not believed in this God. Which is really, when you think about it, quite a big statement. Can you remember a time before BBC iPlayer existed? Can you remember a time before YouTube? That was just for younger ones. If you're older like me, perhaps we need to reach a bit further back. You can probably remember a time before mobile phones. If you were out and about and you wanted to speak to someone, you had to find a payphone, didn't you? Do you remember that? I remember that. There was a time before the internet. If you wanted to find something out, you had to go to a library, I guess, and look it up in a book. Is that what people did? We had three very small encyclopedias. It was about that thick in total. All of my school homework came out of those three books. That was it. That was the only information we had. I remember when colour televisions were exciting. You remember that? I can remember standing and looking in awe at a photocopier for the first time. Everyone remembers their first photocopier, do you think? Or maybe not. Maybe that was just me. But I was excited. I remember those things. No matter how old you are, even if you were centuries old, even if you were millennia old, you cannot look back at a time before the God that you read about in the Bible was invented. He never was. There is no time when he wasn't worshipped. He truly is prehistory. There was an article in a national newspaper a few weeks ago that said this: Britain is losing its religion. Research has found, with the proportion of non-believers the highest it has ever been. More than half of the population has no faith, and the share who say they are Church of England Christians has fallen to just 15%, the lowest recorded. Just 3% of those aged 18 to 24 said they were C of E. Half of those aged 55 to 64 said they had no religion. Church of England leaders said the findings were troubling. Andrew Copson of the Humanists UK, he's the chief executive, he said the figures were proof that the church was undergoing an ongoing and probably irreversible collapse. Now, I find it difficult to marry up those two concepts. A God who has always been known and worshipped, and a church of ongoing and probably irreversible collapse. How do those two things go together? Are we really the generation that is going to see the end of Christianity? I really don't think so. You see, the church is not a museum piece, exactly as Jan was praying. Otherwise, if the church was a museum piece, it would have been forgotten long ago, like gramophones and typewriters. The church exists because it is relevant in every time and every community. It's timeless because Christianity is timeless, because Jesus is timeless. And the church in this country is in trouble if it simply is trying to hold on to a bygone era. Personally, I haven't got time for that. Ultimately, it's futile. You might as well try and hold back the tide like King Canute did down in Bosom Key. There is something much more exciting to be doing. This timeless God has a timeless message of salvation and hope in Jesus. Jesus is building his church, and the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that God's whole intention is that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom, the sheer genius of God should be on display. It should be evident. You should be able to see it. Now, that's what we aim for here in Grace Church. That's what we're about. We work hard to be a group of people together where you can see God at work. There was a man in the Bible called Barnabas. And he walked into a church one day, and that was exactly his experience. He could see God at work. And he was overjoyed, bowled over, because he could see what he described as the evidence of the grace of God. God at work amongst his people. Let me stick the verse up and we'll read the story in a bit. When he arrived, it says, and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. So the story, which I'll read to you in a moment, tells you what it was that Barnabas saw in that church. But before I get into that, I want us to watch a video. And this video is about Grace Church, and hopefully it will help illustrate how what I'm saying this morning is working out in this church. Let's watch this video together.
There's never been a time when people haven't believed in the God of the Bible. Our job is not to hold on to something past, but rather to present the timeless message of God's love and the hope found in Jesus to today's generation. If you live in the part of West Sussex and Hampshire that reaches from the South Downs right down to the sea, then we're here to serve you. We're Grace Church.
Thank you. We're Grace Church.
Right, I'm going to use that video wherever we can. I'm going to put that everywhere. So the church that Barnabas had come to was in the city of Antioch. And Antioch looks something like that, I think. Antioch was one of the most important cities in the Roman Empire. It had a large population, about 500,000 people. It was a very diverse population, lots of different cultures represented there. And that's where Barnabas went into a church and he saw Grace with his own eyes. And he was impacted and astonished and overjoyed. Let's read the story together and then we'll see what it was he saw. So in Acts 11, verse 19, it says this. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, saw that evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up, and through the Spirit, he predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And this happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So, to look at a person or to look at a church and see the grace of God must mean that God's grace has an effect on the way that you live your life, on the way that we live as a church. But really, it only does that when you've been impacted, when you've been astonished by the grace of God for yourself. It starts on the inside. So let me try and describe the grace of God to you for a moment. When people are talking about religion, there are two things that you'll hear people say really quite often. I don't know if this would be familiar to you. I hear people say this. The first thing people say is that all religions are basically the same. Yeah? Some choose Islam, some choose Hinduism, some choose Christianity. It all amounts to the same thing, really. People of faith, that's what we all are. That's the first thing. The second thing you will hear said is that religion is actually responsible for all the trouble in the world. And someone said that to me not so long ago. They said, well, the world would be a better place without religion. Now, I don't know what you think about those two comments. To some extent, I agree with both. All religions basically are the same. All religions around the world are about law. They're about keeping a set of rules. The rules themselves might vary, but the essence of every religion is that if you live in a certain way now, you will be safe and secure for the future. In fact, highly religious ceremonial forms of Christianity are often no different from that. And it is true that religious people can be some of the nastiest people on the planet. You just have to look at IS right now, or the violent hatred that's been displayed between Muslims and so-called Christians right down through the centuries, or, I mean, somebody who would put a bomb on a tube train in the name of religion. Even these terrible scenes that we've seen this week on the border between Myanmar and Bangladesh. It's basically the result of a clash of religion between Buddhists and minority Muslims. Wherever you find religion, you find that it breeds fear and pride. Pride because a religious person will always say they are doing okay. It's just the rest of the world. They're doing the right thing. It's just everybody else who's failing to measure up. And fear, because there's a feeling of being threatened. There is self-justification and an intolerance of anybody who holds a different view. And it's only then a very small step before fear becomes deep insecurity and pride grows into appalling cruelty and violence. And you see this on the news almost daily, it seems. It's what religion does. But there is something different. And that is biblical Christianity. And it is entirely different because biblical Christianity is not a religion of law. It stands completely apart. So I don't even like using the word religion for it. It's different. It's an understanding and an experience of grace. It's not what you can do for God. It's about what he has already done for you. The Christian message is about a loving, accepting God who reaches down to you. He is a giving God. He gives freely. It says in a verse in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Now, the spirit of this world is the philosophy that I think drives our nation at the moment. It basically says something like this. It says everybody is intrinsically good. People do bad things sometimes, but everybody is basically good. And all we need to do is give people a good education and provide the right opportunities in life, and the UK will be a wonderful place to live. It's not what the Bible says. I think it's godless. It's the spirit of this world. Actually, everything we do is in some way tarnished and spoiled and polluted because it's corrupted by sin. Education is good, but people don't need education to make the UK a wonderful place. What they need is a new heart. They need Jesus. It's the hope of this nation. And God gives freely. He freely gave his son, the Son of God, Jesus, took on humanity, was born into this world, and then he died, paying a debt for your sin that you could not pay. He freely gives his spirit, and it's only by the spirit that gospel makes sense. And you understand, your eyes are open, you say, I get it now, I don't need law, I don't have to earn my place in heaven, God is giving it to me freely. Christianity is not a self-improvement program. It's a new life. You believe in Jesus, you become a new person, the spirit in you. And God just keeps on giving. Romans 8 verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Where does the giving of God stop? It only stops when he has given us all things. Now, that's the grace of God. It'll blow your mind if you start to look at it. Can you see it? You get to receive that if you want. You live in it every day. If you want to find out more about the grace of God, about Jesus, if you feel you don't kind of have those Christian foundations clear in your mind, then I would really encourage you to sign on to our Alpha course, which is just for that purpose. We start with food each evening over 8 weeks, and then there's a chance to hear some information and a chance to chat about it around a table. And our next Alpha course starts with a taster evening on the 2nd of October, down in Chichester. And I just encourage you, if you think, what's this about? I need to understand this grace. I need to understand what Jesus has done. Then sign up for Alpha before you leave today. It'd be great to have you on that course. That's the grace of God. If you get this, it changes the way you live. It shows on the outside. The people in Antioch in that church, they got the grace of God. And that's why Barnabas could see it. What could he see? Let's just look into this chapter before we finish and see what it was. You see, the first thing that Barnabas saw is that he saw that lives were changing. Something was happening to people. It said in verse 21, let me just read it to you again. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Many people there had believed. They were turning to the Lord. Turning to the Lord is what we call repentance. It's a biblical word. It means turning from your sin, turning from your own agenda, turning from a me-centered life and turning instead to God, putting him first, just resolving, deciding that you will live for him. The only way to really overcome sin in your life is to be impacted by the grace of God. It says in Romans, sin has no dominion over us because we're not under law, we're under grace. That's how we overcome sin. It's grace that does it. It's not that when you become a Christian, you get a whole new set of rules to live by. I mean, that would be depressing. No, it's the grace of God that teaches you how to live. Let me give you an analogy that might help. Imagine that you are in a house. And in that house, there are some people who are able to hear normally. And there are some people who are completely deaf, who can't hear a thing. Now, in a particular room, you go into this room and there is some music playing. And there is a hearing person there who is enjoying listening to the music. And they're clearly enjoying it. I don't know what music it would be. Imagine what music you'd like to hear playing, whether that's Last Night at the Proms or, I don't know, a bit of Stormzy or something, or Justin Bieber. Whatever floats your boat, that's what's playing. And you can see someone there who's just loving that music. And you can tell because they're smiling, because they're tapping their foot, because they're moving around, they're dancing a bit to the rhythm, maybe a bit of air guitar is going on. They're clearly enjoying it. Now imagine another person enters that room who is completely deaf. And they see the first guy clearly enjoying himself, and they think, well, I'd like some of that. That clearly looks really good fun. But they can't hear the music. So instead, they try to copy what the first man is doing. So they look and they say, right, I need to tap my foot like this. That's obviously the key. Tap my foot. Okay. I need to sway a bit. That's obviously what's needed. Okay. I need to pretend I'm playing a guitar. So they do that for a bit. I'm not feeling it. I don't know why this is good fun, because for me, it's just awkward. Maybe I need to smile. The guy's obviously smiling. Okay, I'll smile. For a cheesy grin on my face. I don't get why I'm not enjoying this. So the thing is that no amount of dancing will enable the deaf person to hear the music. It will never be fun. It'll always be forced. It'll always be awkward. Now, a Christian dances to the music of heaven. They move. They live their life to the music of heaven. It's the Spirit who enables you to hear that music. You hear how God wants you to live. You submit to his word. You go with it. An unbeliever, someone who rejects Jesus, they can try. They can try to imitate, follow the rules, but it will never work. It'll only ever be following rules. There's no fun in that. There's only an awkwardness. We need the Spirit of God in us. Titus 2 says, the grace of God has appeared to us, bringing salvation, yeah, but also training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Barnabas could see the grace of God because people were turning to Jesus, renouncing kind of ungodliness, ungodly practices, saying, oh, I'm going to live God's way now. If you're struggling with sin yourself, the answer is not to try harder and harder to apply the rule book. What rule book? Get back into a relationship with Jesus. Think about, pray about, sing about, become obsessed by the grace of God. And what you find then is that sin has no power over you. It just kind of floats away. Barnabas encouraged this whole church to remain true to Jesus with all their hearts. And then he went to get his mate, who was called Saul, and brought him back. And so they were both in Antioch together. And then they spent their time teaching the church everything that the Bible has to say. Do you know that one of the most important characteristics of Grace Church is that we preach the Bible? Unashamedly, it's what we do. Every week, we give a good amount of time to explaining the Bible, to applying it into our lives. You don't need to hear me stand here spouting good ideas or giving you the benefit of my own opinion. There's plenty of opinion out there. What we all need is the timeless truth of God's word. It's powerful. It's effective. It's God's revelation to you. Even this morning, right? In this morning, as I was planning what I would say to you, I could have taken time to describe Grace Church to you. I could have told you what is going on. But I just thought, that's not us. It's not good enough for me. I need to be in God's word. I want to be in the pages of Scripture. This is life to us. I want to dig in here and find out what is God saying. That's who we are. That's who we should be. When the word of God is preached, the Spirit is at work. If you've just started coming to Grace Church, then you've come at a good time, because we are about to start a brand new preaching series. And it's called Abundant Life, The Difference That Jesus Makes. And we will be based mostly in the New Testament letter of 1 John, really exploring that letter together. When John wrote that letter, he had one underlying conviction on his mind that he wanted to communicate, and we need to hear that message too. It was this. It was that if you want to make sense of life, if you want to cut through all the stress and the confusion and the disappointment and instead lead a victorious life of peace and joy and hope for the future, then the only way is to begin with an accurate understanding of who Jesus is. That is the key. And that's a big statement. And we're going to begin unpacking that over from next week and over the weeks that follow, that Jesus really does have for us life to its fullness. And we find that in Jesus. So firstly, Barnabas saw lives being changed as people turn to Jesus. That's what I want for us here. Secondly, what Barnabas saw was a church where people accepted one another. See, in the church in Antioch, there were Jews who'd believed in Jesus, and there were Greeks or Gentiles, non-Jews, who had believed in Jesus. In that society at that time, there was huge social religious barriers between these two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. They did not get on. I mean, it's like having Pompey and Southampton supporters together. You know, it's that kind of thing. They just did not get on. We also know from reading the story on in Acts that not only did the church have both Jews and Gentiles represented, but the leadership of the church comprised both groups, comprised black and white people, rich and poor people. In fact, every social barrier potentially actually seemed to have been overcome in the life of the church. They accepted one another. They were in community with one another. And do you know the grace of God will do that to you? Here is what I've observed in people, that people tend to treat other people with the same love, acceptance, and forgiveness that they think they are receiving from God. So a deeply religious person may be mean to other people. They think they're serving a mean God. If they think they've had to convince God to love them, then of course their attitude to others will be, well, give me a good reason why I should be friendly to you. But remember God's grace. He's given his love to you for nothing. He forgives you for everything. And when you receive the grace of God, it flows out to others. It breaks down barriers. Within Grace Church, we have a representative slice of the community we live in. And that's exactly how it should be. We have people who are a little bit more wealthy. We have the very poorest and the homeless. Both here, worshipping side by side. We have elderly and we have the young. We have people from a wide variety of ethnic backgrounds, people of different sexual orientations. It's like we are one big family. It's exactly what we are. In fact, the Bible describes the church just like that, as a family of believers. Now, your own family background might be good or it might have been more challenging. But I guess we all know what the strengths of a family should be. It's a place where you belong. It's a place where you share something in common. It's a place where you care for one another. And when people are down, you rally around. It's a place where even if you have an argument and annoy each other and have a bit of a fight, somehow there's a deeper bond that always exists. That means you will always be there for one another. That's family. All that applies equally to the church. If you've been thinking that church is a place that you go to, perhaps now and again, when you feel like it, or you feel that, I feel my needs need to be met, so I'll go to church, I just encourage you to think differently. Church is a family. You can belong. You can belong to the church family. Just a few more. They were vocal about Jesus. In verse 26, it says, in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. There was something about the society in Antioch, Antiochy society, that they just loved to give nicknames to groups of people. That's how it worked. So they would say, you're one of those people who is always going on about, I don't know, say Herod. So we're going to call you the Herodians. And it was slightly kind of tongue-in-cheek. It was a little bit kind of mocking. But when they started to identify the believers in Jesus as a distinct group, they said, you're the people who are always going on talking about Christ. So we're going to call you the Christians. And those Christians quickly thought, I'm glad you're calling me that. I know you're trying to mock me. I know you're trying to kind of take the mick. But I'm proud to carry the name of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever had somebody mock you for talking about Jesus. I get that now and again from one or two in particular, my next door neighbor, definitely. I just think it's a good thing. The equivalent to being called a Christian in Antioch would probably be being called something like a Jesus freak today, something like that. All they ever go on about is Jesus. Do you see us? A compliment in many ways. It's how it should be. Keep talking about Jesus. Go on about him. I know that in conversation, because I feel it, it's so much easier to talk politics or current affairs, social action. It's easier to talk about the church. It's even easier to talk about God. But if that's all the believers in Antioch had ever done, then the word Christian would not even exist. Keep talking about Christ. You bear his name. If nobody is calling you a Jesus freak or something similar, then you're not living up to the name Christian, actually. Wherever we are through the week, Grace Church is a church that wants to tell people about Jesus. Because it's good news. And we want to share that good news. And we also look for ways to work together to make a bigger impact on the communities where we live. That's evidence of the grace of God on us. In a few weeks' time, we're putting on this barbecue for the people in Midhurst, particularly those who live in the Holmbridge estate. And just wonderful that we can do that. What we have found is this. This is kind of Grace Church kind of operating philosophy. It does relate back to Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples to look for a man of peace to proclaim the good news to. What he was saying was look for a man or a woman who kind of wants to know about me. So here in Grace Church, what we don't tend to do is preach at people uninvited. What we do is we are nice to people. And we put on fun things. And we offer to help. Even offer to pray for people and pray for healing. Then when people ask us, as they inevitably do, why are you doing this? What is it that motivates you? Well, then we can tell them about Jesus. And say he's the reason. Grace Church is a place that's vocal about Jesus. And if let's all get behind this bar, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to doing that again. So let's be praying for it and getting ready for it. Lastly, what did Barnabas see? He saw people who looked for ways to help and serve others. Get this little extra bit of insight in the church in Antioch. This prophet, Agabus, came from Jerusalem, prophesied that there was going to be a famine across the whole region. Right throughout the church, they said, right, well, we've got more than we need. They need our help. Let's send a gift. Let's get it together. Let's do it. And they all gave. The grace of God always leads to generosity of spirit. Always. So one way of seeing grace at work is when you see people who are not blind to the needs of others around them. But instead, they think, I can serve. I can help. I can offer what I've got. Jesus gave up everything for me. I've got resources of time or energy or money or whatever. There is a need. I want to be part of meeting that need. So Grace Church is fundamentally a serving community. We exist because people are always looking for ways to help each other out. That's the only way we would survive. I see it all the time. If someone in one of our life groups, our small groups that meet in people's homes, if someone in one of our life groups is sick or they have a new baby or something else has happened in life, people are always ready to rally round and help and support. And throughout the church, there are serving teams to get involved with in many different ways, making our Sunday mornings work and other events too. And we serve our wider community in many ways, which we put together under the banner of Grace Work, simply showing the love of Jesus to people who need it. I mean, like what Vernon does with Food Bank here in Midhurst. I mean, it's just brilliant. I really want to welcome you to Grace Church. If you're not already, come and be a part of us. Because I love this church. If you are checking out churches or thinking of joining us, what I encourage you to do is look for evidence of the grace of God. Should be like your number one kind of criteria. That's what Barnabas did. Whatever it was that Barnabas saw in that church in Antioch, be looking for that. Look for a sense of the presence of God when we come together. That's the Holy Spirit at work. Listen to the buzz and the chat over tea and coffee. Look for people serving. Look for people demonstrating love for one another. Look for a sense of being on a mission together. Look for people with generosity of spirit. Ultimately, look for a people who really want to worship God, see him glorified and press into him. If you've come to Grace Church once or twice or maybe more, I would love to welcome you into Grace Church as a member. I believe that membership of a local church is important. And it's mostly important for you. because it's a chance for you to demonstrate clearly that you are in. You're part of this family. You're a part of this body. It's you saying, yes, count me in. We also have membership because it's good for all of us. It's good for all of us to know who is a part of us. You might know that you are a part of Grace Church family, but if we don't know that you know, then are you really? That would be my question. It's a bit like having a long-lost brother that you didn't know about. It would be like that. Now, to become a member of Grace Church, what we usually do is we ask everyone to come to a Saturday morning event called Exploring Membership. And you come on that morning, and if you love Jesus and you agree with the values of Grace Church and you want to join us, be part of this family, then we welcome you into membership, and it's as simple as that. I'm going to do something a little bit out of the box, a little bit radical today. I just felt prompted by God to do it. Things that I've told you about today, about what grace looks like in the life of a church, it's really, roughly speaking, the first session from our Exploring Membership morning. We cover a lot of the same ground. And so here's what I propose. If you've heard what I've said today about Grace Church and you think, yes, I would like to be a part of this church, then what I'm going to ask of you is that you hang around immediately after this meeting. We'll grab a cup of tea and a donut, and we'll probably come back here somewhere, and I'll just grab you all together for maybe 15 minutes, and I'll give you a little bit more information, and if you want to be a member, we'll take it from there. I'm basically saying you won't have to come on the Exploring Membership morning, although it is excellent, and I would encourage you to book into that anyway. It's on the 11th of November, a Saturday morning. Do come if you can, but I'm saying let's just get on with membership. That's what I'm saying. I just felt a prompt from God to encourage people into membership this morning. And you'll still have a chance to go away and think about it if you want. I'm not sort of pressing you into a decision. I want to create an opportunity for you today. If you love Jesus, if you are anything more than a one-off visitor, if you think, actually, this is my church now, then I think this is for you. And I'd love just to, yeah, let's get you all together afterwards. Let's do it. For all of us, I would just want you to know that you are most welcome. That it is good to have you with us. I love being part of Grace Church. I hope you do. We're on a journey together. We ain't perfect either. Stick around. Enjoy the grace of God. Let's work it out together. Okay. What I'd love us to do is worship as we finish. Just consider what your response is this morning. You've got your what's on forms. Pick them up again. Have a look down the tick boxes. Maybe your response this morning is to think, actually, I'd love to do that Alpha course. If I could have some more information on that, that would be great. Just tick the box. We'll get in touch. Make sure your contact details are there. If you'd love to serve and get involved, maybe with the barbecue we're doing in a few weeks' time, tick the box. If you want to consider membership, find out more about that. Sign up to the day on Saturday. Tick the box. Or anything else. What we're going to do is we're going to collect those up kind of right now. So do be ready. When the basket kind of comes past you, stick your form in there. And if you don't tick any boxes, then fill in your contact details anyway. It's good to know who's been here today. Why don't we stand together? I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your presence with us today. I want to thank you for your church. This is not our idea, it's your idea. We might like things about it. You are passionate for your church. You gave yourself for your church. And now you are building her, preparing her as a bride in waiting that one day will be presented to you in a wonderful marriage ceremony in heaven. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be part of that great destiny. Lord, we pray that you would be at work, that you would be present in us as your people, that you would have your hand upon us as your church. Lord, build us, grow us, Lord, resource us in every way. Lord, I thank you for every individual person that you have knitted into this family. It's a wonderful thing you're doing, and I dare to dream for even more. So pour out your Spirit upon us, I pray. I pray that we would see lives transformed. That we would see family built. We would see disciples made. We would see needy people served wherever they are. We would see your name glorified. Help us to do our part, Lord. I pray that you just build faith within us right now. Faith for our own part. Faith for our own role. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just worship him. Let's lift up his name.